Poppy.
Blog Talk Radio.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend.
Good morning and welcome to the New Day Show. I am so privileged to be your guest, your host this morning. And of course, you're listening to the Queen of the Empowered Soul, otherwise known as Dynamic Daphne. I am so super excited about today's show because I have three of America's finest, most powerful entrepreneurs on this morning. So I want to tell you to grab your pens and pad, get your juice or your water, put your legs up, sit back, relax, and learn from these amazing, amazing women. I know hanging out with us right now in the virtual green room is my first guest, Sandra J. Bullock, and I'm going to be bringing her on momentarily. So again, I want to remind you that you have the opportunity to call in with your questions, and the number to do that is 646-915-8166. Again, the number is 646-915-8166. And the chat room will be up momentarily. I will be going back and forth from the switchboard until I'm not sure whether my producer will be on. I know she's at work, so I don't know whether or not she'll be on. And, of course, you all know she lives in the sunny state of Florida. So bear with me. If you're there in the chat room, I will get to you momentarily to get your questions. And again, just tweet everybody you know, send a message out and tell them they need to be part of this conversation. As promised, our conversations leading up to the Vision Weekend Conference 2010, all of that will be around the word vision. What is vision for you? And as we conduct these different segments in the week the Vision Weekend Conference 2010, which is taking place on May the 6th through the 9th here in Connecticut at the Heritage Hotel, nested in the unique New England town of Southbury, you are going to be hearing some of the most amazing vision journey that you can learn from. And the site for the conference is www.visionweekendconference.com. So go on there. We listen to you. You ask us to extend the early bird registration. So we did that through April the 13th. So please do not delay. Rush on there and grab your registration. Again, the Vision Weekend Conference will be May the 6th through the 9th at the Heritage Hotel and Spa, Golf and Spa, in Southbury. Well, without any further delay, I want to welcome my friend, Mrs. Sandra J. Bullock. Sandra, good morning. And how, Sharon.
Yes. I said, well, I could use some Sandra Bullock money right now.
I'm telling you, Sharon, how are you, my sister?
That's okay. A lot of people make that same mistake. Daphne, it's so great to be on with you this morning.
It is such a pleasure. I know, you know, I really could not have this vision conversation without including you, because you and I met maybe some 8-9 years ago at the Power Networking Conference.
Exactly.
And I have admired and observed you all the years. And I just so admire your evolvement into the entrepreneurial arena. So I know you have a magnificent story to tell, and I wanted to include you in that conversation. So thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, not only to invest in my vision, but also in the vision and mission of my my listeners. So I thank you.
Oh, well, thank you, Daphne, for having me on. It is my pleasure. And, yes, we did meet several years ago at the Power Networking Conference, and really that conference is just sort of boosted me into where I am now, because networking is so, so very important.
Yeah. Why don't you tell a little bit about who Sharon Bullock is and her beginnings? I mean, whether it's a humble beginning or a moderate beginning, I want the people to understand how your journey began.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a Georgia girl. So I grew up in Gainesville, Georgia, and I used to dream of being a model one day. I wanted to be in the fashion industry, and that was really my passion from years and years ago. And I wanted to be a model, and I said, oh, one day a model, and I want to be an actress. So those were my goals, I thought. So I really just sort of grew up watching my aunt who had a chain of salons and, you know, just knowing that that was the industry I wanted to be a part of. And just after graduating from high school, I was supposed to go to Barbizon School of Modeling. And it was very, very close to when school was about to start that fall that I quickly changed my mind and decided to follow my friends to a four-year college. Mm-hmm. Well, you know that haunted me for years, you know, because I didn't follow my dream. I wanted to be this model. But I just said, okay, if I can't be one, then I want to look like one. So it just sort of just stayed with me. And I used to just daydream, Daphne, about clothes and dressing people. And it just stayed in my head for years. But I never knew that that was my passion trying to come out.
Isn't it amazing? You know, Sharon, I'm so happy you took the time to explain that, because there are many people across the world who's listening to you this morning, and your story is also part of the story. Because I am glad you said you followed your friend to a four-year college, even though you are one of the hundreds or even thousands of people who knew earlier on in your life what mm-hmm. you were called to do. Mm-hmm. As a child, you dreamt about it.
Exactly.
And I'm sure if I would talk to your mother and stuff now, she would say, girl, it doesn't matter when you woke the child up. She was talking about modeling. She was dressing the dolls up, you know. And it's
that is so true.
How we run from who we were mm-hmm. created to be. But we can't run too long.
That is so true. And it would haunt me for years. And I just, you know, so I went into the hair care industry, I guess, as a consolation. And it just, you know, of course, I came alive again. And, you know, I was able to, you know, play dress up and, you know, all of those things. But it's still was just something missing. And I thought I was supposed to go into the hair care industry and open a day spa. So I followed that. And it was like, you know, I kept hitting brick walls. It's just like for years and years, I tried to open just a day spa. And it's not rocket science. You know, it's easy. You know, that wasn't that difficult. But because I guess that wasn't what I was supposed to do.
It was not for you.
Yeah,
yes.
It's amazing, you know.
You know, Sharon, there are people who are called to do day spa. Mm. But it's not for you. It's not for you. And it doesn't matter how simple the thing is. If you are not called for it, then it becomes so tedious and difficult that you figure, I'm an intelligent woman. I went to college. Mm. Why can't I get this silly thing up and running?
Exactly. And that's what I was, you know, I mean, it's amazing. I look back over the years, and I don't look at them as years wasted because it just sort of, I guess, you know, it made that path that I was supposed to follow to get where I am today. You know, I don't wish for everyone to be in their 50s before their dream comes true, but at the same time, listen to that little voice inside of you. Listen to all of those things that you would do or like you would do it for free. I mean, that's literally what it's all about. You know, whatever your passion is, you would literally do it for free. And I used to, when I used to have those daydreams, and it was a daily thing with me because I would sit and daydream about clothes, I wouldn't tell anyone because I said, oh, they're going to think I'm conceited or something. You know, so I just sort of kept that all to myself. You know, but look at what that really meant. You know, when I really look back on it, it was just really my passion trying to come out.
And isn't it something we try to suffocate it? We push it down. We cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
Or we try to drown it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much time. But when you are called to do something, ain't nothing you
Mm-mm.
can do about it. And it's a shame that some people exit this world without really letting their light shine.
That is so true.
You know, I am so glad that we are having this conversation. And you know why I'm excited about this?
Mm.
God has given me a unique calling.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about helping others understand that, yes, you're unique. You are called and created to live an authentic life. And I am so excited that He has put so many people in my path, including you, who has a story to help me do this. So my job gets easier and easier every day that I awake because I am surrounded by experts who have a story to tell. They are not people who are coming and say, oh, well, yeah, I graduate college. Oh, before you know it, I opened one of the most exquisite boutiques in Maryland.
Wow.
No, you are saying, hey, I fought it too.
Mm.
But I was smart enough to wake up and smell the roses to know that God called me for something unique. And I tell you, Sharon, anybody who knows you and who associate with you can know that you were created to do what you do, girl. I tell you something. I have been blessed to own a couple of your pieces. You know, hats and jewelry that I have purchased from you. And every time I wear them, I get so much compliment. And people always say to me, girl, I ain't know where you get your stuff from, but I ain't see that no place. And like your slogan says, if it's not unique, you don't carry it.
Exactly, so exactly.
Not only do you look special, but your clients, you allow us to look like $1 million. the hats that I get from you, they have become part of my church because we have an amazing drama group and sometimes we do drama. And girl, they say, man, we ain't got to worry, Daphne have enough hats. So the hats have to be part of that. And I tell them, man, I should be renting these hats
Well, my passion for hats come from my mom. We used to always, well, if you didn't, you couldn't go to church without covering your head, and it was just that was a thing for us growing up. And it's just like I never felt like I had my outfit wasn't complete unless I had a hat with it. And I even always tell my clients, because I get so many of them who said, "Oh, I never wear hats. Oh, I can't wear hats. Oh, my head's too big. My head's too small." But my thing is, everyone can wear a hat. It's just finding the hat.
Yes. You just have to know how to wear it and what kind of a hat.
Exactly, exactly. You know? And also to your point, when you were saying about the day spa thing, is that even when I was looking for the site for my business, you know, I was exploring sites for the day spa. And, you know, of course, that fell through just like it kept falling through all along. But yes. I kept coming back to this one location because I just knew it was an up-and-coming area, downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. Mm. They were totally revamping this area, and I saw the plans from the beginning. And I went to them and presented my proposal for the day spa, and they loved the idea and so forth. But, you know, things didn't pan out, as you know. And
yeah, leave other people.
Yeah, it happened the way it's supposed to. And guess what's over there where I was supposed to have my day spa? Another day spa.
Yeah, because that was their vision.
But it just wasn't meant for
you. You would have been burnt out and stressed out running a day spa.
But you know what happened, Daphne? I even came back to them a year and even another year later, and I said, okay, since I was going around and I was, you know, working at Verizon, my full-time job, and I actually, the airline lost my luggage, and all of my favorite jewelry was in that in those bags, and I was so devastated. I said, oh, my goodness, all my favorite pieces. And so I said, oh, let me just try to start making some pieces to replace those, and I would take them to work, and people actually liked them and bought them. But that was like even that, making jewelry was still not where I was supposed to. Yeah, it was a creativity, but I just didn't have the patience to do to hand make the jewelry. So I said, oh, I can buy and sell instead. And that's really where it all started. I just started buying jewelry, and then I added hats, and, you know, people just kept, you know, well, I like this, you know, why don't you carry that, and, you know, why don't you carry clothes too, because I like your whole look, you know, the whole nine yards. So it just sort of evolved, you know, into my, you know, vending and doing shows and parties and things like that, and it just got to be a bit much to carry around, and I just said, okay, I need a storefront.
That's right. Let me ask you a question.
Hmm.
When you hear the word vision and you think about the journey you traveled from Georgia to other states, to New York, to Maryland, what role has vision played in who you have evolved into as we speak today?
Oh, my goodness. That's a good question. That's a very good question. I feel that I've always wanted to be the best I could be in every sense that matters, and I wanted to have other women feel the same way. It's sort of like people look at, okay, you start from the inside. That is true, but with my type of business, I look at, well, why not start from the outside in? If you can create or be who you want to be from the outside, and you receive enough compliments to let that permeate inside, it's going to boost your self-esteem, and you're going to feel like and be like the best person you can be in every sense that matters. And I just always felt like I can make women feel good about themselves. And it just gives me great joy when people come back to me and say how many compliments they received on wearing my wares, such as yourself. And just, you know, and good news travels, thank God. You know, so that is really what it's all about. It's just all of us helping each other to reach that next level. And I want to tell you this part before I forget. When I found the building that I wanted to have my store, I would go to that parking lot, and I would sit in my car, and I would stalk that building. And I did this. I'm telling you, I did this for 6 months. You know, people laughed, and I said, I literally did this. I used to live around the corner, and I had to drive past there, you know, coming from work. I would go to that parking lot every day, and I would sit in that parking lot, and I would watch that building like it was mine. I would envision my logo up on that building. I envisioned my people walking in there, coming to buy my wares. And I was doing The Secret before The Secret came out.
Can I tell you something?
Mm.
You just told a bit of my story. The house I live in now, when I realized this house was for sale, a friend of mine had moved into the area. And I came and we were driving. It's a lake community. And we were driving around looking to see what's available. And I saw this house. And when I went back and looked on my poster board, my vision board, The house I had there from I used to live in New York was on a dead end street, and I came here and I said, this is the house on my vision board.
Wow!
And I tell you something, the house was no longer on the market, and I found out who was selling the house, and I went to the person's office, and I asked him about the house, and he asked me, how did I know about the house? And I told him how I learned about the house. And I said, can I have a key to look in it? He gave me the key to come and look around. And every time I would go back to him, every other day to borrow the key, saying I was showing the house to somebody. I wasn't showing the house to anybody. I would come walking around the house praying, going inside all the closet and everything and praying. So I know exactly what you are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a caller on here. I'm thinking it's my next guest. However, let me make sure of that. Caller, good morning. Your first three digits are 713. Are you my next guest, or do you have a question for Sandra?
I'm your next guest. Just let you know I'm here.
Okay. I will be with you momentarily. Oh, Sharon, you sure you don't want to change your name? Because I keep calling you. Well,
okay.
One thing we will definitely have to have you back on, because you have such a magnificent story. So I ask you, is your vision to see every woman as close as they can look in their image to be like you?
I didn't understand your question. I'm sorry.
Is your vision, because as you talk about from the outside in, to remake women, is your vision really to see women as closely as they can look in their image to be something similar to your image?
Well, not necessarily, because everyone has to be who they're meant to be. And this was my vision, and this is what I saw for myself, but that may not be what the other person aspires to be or do. And not only that, you know, this is like everybody does not want to look like me. And I had to learn that early on, too, and even when I choose the things in my store, it's sort of like I have to buy 50% of things I like and 50% of things I don't like. And it's just more like, because there are people who are the complete opposite of you, but you want to also have something for that person as well. So it's a difficult thing when you're buying everything you love, you know, but you're thinking of it as oh, would I wear this, or would I, is this something that I would want? You know, so it's sort of like
to do that, because if it's not sold, then you can always wear it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I have some calls here, and I want to make sure whether or not they have questions for you. Caller, good morning. Your last four digits are 4418. Do you have a question for Sharon?
No, I do not. I'm just listening, but thank you, Doctor.
Okay. You're very welcome. Caller, your first three digits are 240. Do you have a question, or are you listening? Hello, are you listening?
Yes.
Okay, I guess she is. Thank you very much. Okay, Sharon, I know we have exhausted our time, but I would love to have you back another time. Why don't you take 5 minutes to just summarize our conversation? And if you would give a couple of nuggets to people who are thinking of starting a business, what would some of the first things be that you ask them to put on their list?
Well, of course, have a vision. And if you're not sure what that vision is or what your passion is, think about what you would do for free. And that hobby that you're doing, you know, turn it into a business because the money will follow. And, of course, you got to have a plan. So the business plan is very important. And just follow your dream. And I just have to say that, you know, very strongly, because you see how long it took for me to get to where I am, and the vision was always there. And I also believe strongly in networking. And I didn't mention it earlier, but I'm also vice president and co-founder of an organization called Sisters for Sisters Network, and my co-founder, Peggy Morris. And I just want you to encourage the listeners to go out and network and be around those with like minds. And they will help encourage you to, you know, take your goals to the next level. If you'll know if you're around the right people. And if it doesn't feel right, then go on to the next group. But I want to also give my website, which is www.metamorphosisboutiques.com. And we're located in downtown Silver Spring in the Whole Foods Shopping Center at 811 Wayne Avenue, Silver Spring, Maryland, 20910. Our phone number is 301-588-8901. And one last thing, we are having a fashion show at the boutique on April 18th at 3 p.m. That's a Sunday. And we're almost sold out, actually, but we may be adding another show. So if you are interested, please give us a call.
Good. And we hope you'll be at the Vision Conference, too, to do a fashion show and to be an exhibitor for your wares, because the people would really benefit here. Well,
I just want
to thank you for spending time with us and sharing your journey to our listeners and to encourage them. And I pray that you have the time to listen to the other guests that are coming up. Continued success, Sharon, in all that you do. And I look forward to communicating with you real soon.
Thank you, Daphne, so much. And you have
welcome.
A blessed day.
You too. Good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good morning, Miss Crystal. How are you, ma'am?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored, and now I'm so super excited to have you on
the air.
You are such a blessing, and you are one of the movers and shakers in the entrepreneurial arena, and it is such a value added for me to not only know of you, but to have a relationship, and I count that a great blessing. So,
thank you. I feel the same way. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And of course, I'm listeners. My next guest, the lady I'm now speaking with, is none other than the social media marketing guru, Mrs. Crystal Washington Martin. So, Crystal, welcome to the A New Day Show, my sister.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you so much. Would you please just take a few minutes and introduce yourself?
Sure, sure. Well, my name is Crystal Washington, and I own a company in Houston named Black Market Exchange that is a full-service marketing firm. And then I also have my own branded side business, which is crystalwashington.com. And that's where I really educate business owners themselves so that they can see measurable results in their own business regarding marketing. So, you know, that's my elevator speech. That's, you know, me in a shortening. But, I mean, I really do have a pretty wild story that very few people actually understand in terms of how I got to this point.
Why don't you go ahead and tell the people a little bit about your story? Tell them your story, because we all need to understand the importance of our story. Our stories are always an important part of our brand.
Got it. Well, you know, it's so funny that when I was in college, you know, I saw myself working in corporate America, and I just kind of bought into the vision that you're really taught when you're in any kind of business environment regarding college. And so that was my goal. And it's so funny because, you know, I got into the corporate arena. I was given raises. I was making a good amount of money. I actually had quite a bit of power for someone, not only my age, that was one thing, but also my race. Because when I looked around, I didn't see very many brown people that were where I was at, and certainly no brown people my age. So I was really a minority because I was probably about 10 to 20 years younger than everyone else around me. Everybody that I was managing could be my mother or grandmother. And it was just an interesting experience. But what I found was that, you know, here I was wielding a little, you know, a little bit of power, and I was making good money, but I wasn't fulfilled. I didn't feel like I was really making a difference in anyone's lives. Now I was making some folks rich somewhere, you know, and I did my job well, but I was not happy. I was not fulfilled. Even aside from sexual harassment, racial issues, all that kind of stuff, just on a very basic level. And I thought to myself, you know, here I am doing all these marketing-related positions and doing well at it. Why can't I use this for the benefit of small business owners? And specifically, I have a heart to help African-Americans because, you know, you start with your home first and you work your way out. And so really it's a funny story in how I was working out one day, and this was September 17th, 2007, I think it was. I was working out, which by and of itself is a strange thing because I don't do that very often. And literally, this voice spoke to me and said, "You're going to be out of here in 30 days. I was like, "What?" First off, why am I hearing things? Secondly, what? Out of where? And so you know how a lot of us are. I tried to get all ultra deep. I had just finished reading a book on numbers, and so I said, "Oh, it must not be 30 days. It must mean 40 days, because 40 days is the day of change and this and that." So then I got home from, you know, working out, and I went on my calendar, and I looked, and 40 days on a Saturday. I'm like, "Well, I wouldn't be leaving here on a Saturday. I don't work that." So you know, I turned into something it wasn't and completely forgot about it. But here's where it got interesting. I did write it in my journal because I had started keeping a thought journal. Okay?
That's right.
So I'd totally forgotten about it, okay, at this point, because it just, you know, it just went away from my mind. And so different things lined up at my job so that one day I came into work and something so inappropriate happened that normally I would have been upset. But what happened was I had this peace, and it just came over me. And it said, "Time to go." And I was like, "What?" And so, and it was like, "Don't take anything with you. Don't take anything that's been in this environment. Just hug the people you need to hug and walk out the door."
My God.
And so I did. And I had already started my business about 6 months prior, my marketing business. But honestly, it came through a vision of prayer. I did just enough to be obedient. I registered it and I created a website. It wasn't making a whole lot of money. It wasn't losing a whole lot of money. I mean, I may have been making $100, $200 a month. So, I mean, it certainly wasn't enough to live off of. But what was funny was I had such a peace walking out of there. And I woke up that next morning after I just walked out, and I woke up in a jolt. And I suddenly went back to my thought journal and opened it up. And that day before was October 17th, 2007, 30 days.
Isn't that something?
Exactly.
Isn't that something?
And so, you know, it's one of those, it's an interesting story, and it's funny that the longer I've been out of the corporate arena and working with business owners and focusing even on self-development, that I've realized that I've always done what I'm doing. I just didn't recognize it.
Exactly. And even you just wasn't getting paid for it, because it's interesting we're having this conversation now, Crystal, because I think it was over the weekend I was speaking with someone about being a nurse in Jamaica. And the many conversations I had with my coworkers about the length of time I would take to administer medication. I would not only walk up to a patient and say, "Miss Washington, take your medicine," or "Mr. Washington, take your medicine." I'm standing there, the medicine is dispensed. But we get into a long conversation before I would ask them to take the medication. And then I said, "Oh, my God." When I came here, realized about coaching and inspirational speaking and all of that. That's what I was doing right there in the hospital was, because when my coworkers always ask me, Clark Hudson, why do you have to take so long to serve the medication? Mm-hmm. It take us 45 minutes. It taking you 2 hours and 15 minutes. I said, I don't know, but I got to talk to the people. You
right.
don't have to talk to everybody so long, they would say. And I'm saying, no, I'm not talking to them long. But the next day and the next month and for several years, that's the same way I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized there was a void in me, and I kept on pursuing. I left hospital. I went to public health nursing. I left public health nursing. I went to the cultural commission, and I was in search of what God called me to do. And I tell you something. When the light bulb went off and I realized why he called me, my God, that was a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
That was a true revelation. So Crystal, when you hear the word vision or any conversation pertaining to vision,
mm-hmm.
what does that really mean for you?
When I think about vision, I think it's about projecting what's already in you.
Mm-hmm.
But really, to have vision, you almost have to take logic out of the picture for a moment.
Oh, hallelujah.
Because
mm-hmm.
what will happen is logic will trick you out
Ooh.
Of your vision.
That's
because
right.
Because visions are not, quote-unquote, realistic. And mind you, I'm not someone that believes in the separation of science and spirituality. They work hand in hand. But most people don't believe that. So what will happen is you will allow your logic to dictate your actions.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that I'm saying people should just be spontaneous and do just things that they don't even feel led to do because they're mad. You know, me walking out on my job, if I had done that earlier because I was just angry, I would not have had the same results.
Exactly.
You know, it's all about being inspired. But vision is really when you stop, you look at yourself, what have you always been? What have you always done? I remember I made straight A's all through school.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why, one of the reasons why, wasn't even that I was just super smart. It was because I was always the one to package my presentations and projects better than anybody else.
Isn't that something?
It was
presentation.
Marketing.
You were marketing yourself
always.
Even way back when.
Even when, I mean, elementary school. So when you talk about your vision, you know, think about your childhood. Who were you authentically? And figure out how you can bring that into who you are now. Before the world, you know, put things on you, before your parents, God bless them, they did the best they could. All of our parents did the best that
That's
was
right.
that was best
they
for
had.
Them.
Yes, they
yeah.
did.
But overcome all of that and see yourself for who you are, and then take off the chains and say, how can I bring out this authentic person now?
Mm-hmm.
What tools do I need? What will make me happy? And what I find is that when we separate ourselves from that logical, you know, brain, we have so much more creativity.
So much more. You know, the conversation that I oftentimes have with my clients and others, I said, you know, what is that one thing you wake up, you smell it, you taste it, you're just so excited about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know this woman, she's so stressed out on her job. Yet, let me tell you something. When you taste a piece of that woman's red velvet cake,
mm-hmm.
it disappears in your mouth.
Mm.
It's like a piece of heaven.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, why aren't you allowing the world to enjoy this cake?
Mm-hmm.
And I used famous Amos and his cookies and everything. I said, listen, there is a reason people is asking you all the time to make a red velvet cake for them when they have a function. I said, instead of baking it for free, it would be pick up at your bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, but I don't think that's my calling or my purpose. And that's why people get so awful focused, because they oftentimes think that our calling and our purpose and the reason why God creates us could not be that simple thing we
yeah.
have been doing from childhood. And it, as Sharon said earlier on, it's not rocket science. She shared about when she was trying to open the day spa,
mm-hmm.
and she was hitting so much brick wall,
mm-hmm.
and she think it's not rocket science. And it's not rocket science, but if it's not meant for you,
right.
you will encounter challenges.
Right, and honestly, you know, I have a viewpoint now. I don't see good and bad anymore.
That's
and
right.
It's taken me some time to refine this, but I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. Originally, my long-term plan was to work in corporate America, go back to school in my late 20s, get my MBA, start my business maybe in my mid-30s, maybe by the time I'm 40. Now, if all the things hadn't happened at the job that I was at, and I will tell you that I worked in a virtual hell. I can't sugarcoat that or put anything else better about it. It was horrible. I loved the people that worked for me. I loved what I did. I did it well. But what was going on in upper management around me was horrendous for anybody with ethics or anything like that. And
but
so,
you learned your lesson, dude.
Yes. But see, the thing was, when I left, I was angry. But now looking back, I am so grateful. Because if that had not happened, I would not have started my business in my mid-20s. I would not have freed myself in my mid-20s. And so what I tell people is, you know, it's like I live in Texas, okay? If you want to go from Texas to California, the quickest route, you're going to drive through some desert. Now, the desert isn't bad. The desert isn't a punishment. It's the quickest way to get to your destination. And so when we stop looking at things as being bad or punishment or demons or devils or whatever else, and we start seeing it as part of the process to get us to where we need to go as quickly as possible,
That's right.
We can see the benefit of where we're going along. But what happens is most people get stuck. They start saying, woe is me, why I'm in this situation, and they don't see the opportunities that it brings because they're so busy feeling bad and having a pity party.
And you know what, Crystal? That's the reason why they keep going through those experiences for the length of time that they do.
Yeah.
Because if we would learn the lessons in the situations, then we would be relieved of those situations and move on to our greater good. But as you say, we sit there, wallow, we have party, we throw banquets, instead of dissecting them and say, all right, no. Here is the lesson that I learned from here.
Mm-hmm.
And the one sure thing about the universe, you will remain there until you learn the lesson.
True. And until you take responsibility as well.
Exactly.
Because
the sooner you take responsibility and learn the lesson, the quicker you will move.
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead. Sorry, I just cut you off. I
apologize. Oh, no, it's okay. No, I was going to say, you know, because honestly, it did occur to me one day when I was still working in corporate America. And I was angry at these people because I was like, you know, how can people say these kinds of evil things about other people? How can people make these types of statements? How can someone subject someone to that? And all these are mean and wicked people. And, you know, they even told me their parents are racist. I mean, they're sharing stories. And so I remember being mad. And then one day a light bulb went off. And this was just before I actually ended up leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I said to myself, now who is really the perpetrator here? Who is the one who's creating the situation? And I'm sitting here putting on my makeup, right? And it hit me. I said, well, they don't come to my house, Daphne, and abuse me. No one comes through my front door and starts in on me. No, what I do is I put on my makeup to make myself pretty and then go drive to be abused. So then who is really doing it?
My God.
I mean, could you imagine someone... I know this is raw, but this is just me being very honest. Could you imagine knowing that someone's about to molest you, and you go ahead and you put on makeup and you put yourself in a place where it's even easier for them to access you? That's literally what so many of us do and what I was doing. I prettied myself up for the abuse.
And, you know, I am thanking you so much for being real, because we need to hear this kind of conversation, because there are women who are in that situation for one day too long.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the courage or the strength to go and just take action for their own security and know that God will see them through.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needed to hear this, because too often people take the money and say, well, I can't leave, I can't do better, I can't this, I can't that. But you know something? Yes, we can when we trust God.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you mentioned, Crystal, don't always look for the logic.
Right.
Because vision, God knows the end from the beginning. And if we allow ourselves to be led by Him,
mm-hmm.
we will come to a solid, solid ending. But
true.
It's when we fight him that we will remain in situation like Crystal is now mentioning. Can you imagine if you weren't obedient, Crystal?
I don't want to. I don't want to imagine.
Oh, my God. It probably will be one of the biggest cases on the front of the world's newspaper.
Yes.
But thank God you were smart enough to take action when God says, because he knows what was coming down the pike, and he saved you from that.
Well, and you know what? That brings up a great point, because I think that something that we have to make sure that we understand, and I'm an honest person. I see this a lot with my brown people,
mm-hmm.
is that we're waiting on God to do something. In other words, you know, I was brought up to believe the same thing. For the longest time, I treated God like Santa Claus or you know, or a genie.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, you know, you just have to say, okay, instead of saying, God, do this for me, say, God, show me how I can get this done.
Clarity, clarity, clarity.
And but be willing to take action. So instead of saying, do it for me, think about when you have children. If you have a child that says, can you do this for me, can you do this for me, versus you have another child the same age that says, can you show me how to do this, who are you more happy to help?
Mm-hmm.
You want to help the one who is who feels empowered to do, you know, partially for themselves. They need your guidance,
mm-hmm.
but they're willing to do. And so there's a lot of people that are sitting in situations that they do not like, but they're waiting on God to
waiting
move.
Waiting on
and
God, when God already told you what to do, and he's sitting down asking, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Hit you with a 3x4 for you to take action?
Yeah.
I've already told you what to do. Get up and take action.
Right. So you have to do something. And so if you're not willing to take action, and most of the time this action, inspired action, defies logic. So if you're not willing to be illogical, you can't be mad when you're in the same
exactly.
situation. And it's not demons or devils or anything else that's keeping you there. At that point, it's you.
That's
and we just have to be real.
Our obedience and our stupidity. Ooh, I want to remind the listeners, I'm coming to the chat room soon. Bear with me. But I want to remind you that you can call in. The telephone number is 646-915-8166. And I'm in conversation with the amazing Crystal Washington. And for those people in the chat room, if you have a question, you can type it and I will relate to Crystal. And for those on the phone, raise your hand if you want to say something. You are welcome with your questions, remark, or suggestions, whatever it is. So I'm just so excited about the conversation today. So what are some insights, Crystal, that you would like to give to the entrepreneurs or small business people about really harnessing who they are and to make sure they stand out there above their competition?
My number one thing that I normally like to make sure that business owners understand is that their most important asset is their network. And the reason I say that is because you can never be any larger than your network. If you are, you know, because some people, I normally ask this when I do speaking presentations, and people will say things like my education or, you know, my knowledge set or my tenacity or my work ethic or, you know, occasionally, and this really does happen, I'll have a couple of vain women that will say my looks. But the fact of the matter is, and that's okay too. But the fact of the matter is, if you're unattractive, you can find somebody else to be the face of your business.
Hallelujah.
If you don't have the degree, you can hire somebody else.
Amen, sister.
If you don't have the knowledge set, you can hire someone else. So the one thing you cannot do is use someone else's network, because
you have to be
connected to them and have them in your network to be able to utilize their network.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the most successful people on this planet have the largest network.
That's
you
right.
Think
they
about
say your people. Network reflects your net worth.
And it's directly proportionate, because you look at people like Bill Gates or even royal families.
Mm-hmm.
They have peers, you know, that can connect them with different things. A lot of them have mentors. They have customers. They have more customers than the rest of us. That's part of the network. They have employees. So literally, the more people you are connected to, the more quality people, I should say, people with similar visions or that, you know, that are in a position to want to help you and that you can help as well, the bigger your network, the more successful you're going to be. So if you are scared to talk to people and to go out, my advice is to get over it immediately because you're stunting your growth. If you're working in corporate America and you want to escape and you don't know anybody, you're not going to be very successful in escaping. So you need to start networking now where you're at. So I would just say, you know, make sure that you're going out and you're meeting. I know your previous guest, when she said it in the end, I was like, oh, thank you, God. That is really the most important thing that you can do as a business owner outside of focusing on your vision is making sure you have the correct people, because what will happen is once you get clear about your vision, it's your network that's going to help you bring it to pass with divine intervention, of course. But, you know, those are the people that can help you and say, oh, you know what, you need this? Well, here, here's how you do this. Oh, well, you don't know how to do this? Here, let me let you in on a little secret. So, again, if you don't know anybody, you're not going to get very far. So you better figure out how to go out and meet people. And the way to network is not to approach it from a what can you do for me standpoint. Look at it from a value-added standpoint. How can I help this person that I'm meeting?
That's right.
You can't personally help them, but if you listen and you ask them what it is they're needing, there's a good chance you know someone that can get help.
That's right.
Our role is just to connect. But once you do that, it's a natural desire for people to want to reciprocate. So that's how you effectively build your network. So to be honest, Daphne, have a vision and grow your network. Those are the two main things. Everything else falls into place from that.
Yes, and the other thing that's important in this networking journey is that a lot of people treat networking as card shoving or card pushing.
Right.
And, you know, two of my good conferences and people are shoving their business cards at me without even wanting to spend the time in a little bit of conversation.
Right.
And I remember a couple of years ago at the Power Networking Conference, I told one woman, because I was talking with somebody else, and she was handing me her card, and I just did not take the card from her because I was trying to understand what this other woman was about. But I guess she thought she really wanted me to have the card, and she waited until I end my conversation. And I immediately say to her, if I took your card from you, I would not be doing you any justice. Because I say, when I take a card, if I know nothing about what the person does,
right,
I cannot effectively network for them. I said, now, do you have 5 minutes to tell me about what it is you do? I said, when you do that, I can clearly understand how can I add value to you. And I said, then I take your card and I know what I'm going to write on the back of your card. But I said, when you give me your card, if I have no notation on it, when I get back to Connecticut with 300 cards, 200 cards, 250 cards, you think, if you don't have a conversation that is engraved inside of my subconscious, that I'm going to remember who you are when I go out?
Right. You're absolutely right. And that's why it's important when we network to, I don't believe in working the room. You know, you hear a lot of people that will say, oh, work the room. I don't believe in that. My thing is, normally in most networking situations, I try to focus on finding five or six people that I can actually create a genuine conversation with and develop a friendly relationship from that point on where I can add value to them. Now, sometimes you're in situations where you'll have more than that. I'll give an example, Daphne. When we met at the Winter Summit, I was inundated with people's information. However, I've made an effort to contact people, to connect with them via social networks as well. You know, some of the people I had a chance to talk with, some of them I didn't, but I'm following up now to make sure that I'm understanding who they are. But in general, you know, you really want to make sure that you are giving people what one of my mentors calls divine intention.
Divine
intention is when you're really listening and you're hearing them and you're not distracted. And that's how you build genuine relationships.
Exactly, because, you know, even at that same conference, someone sent me an email afterwards and she said, oh, we were at the summit, but we didn't talk much. And I'm thinking, we have known other for many years, that particular person. And I'm thinking I needed to learn about at least two or three more people and see how I can add value to them. I went to that conference because I wanted to add value to Deborah and what Deborah was doing.
Right.
You know, I met her on, I think, LinkedIn or something. And there I went. I met you. I met Denise. I met Dr. Joy. I met Tracy. So now, from going to that event, I was able to add value to three people I met there. I had Tracy on the show. I have you on the show. I've had Denise on the show. So even if I had only had an opportunity to put one more person up to share their story for the world to know, it would have been a good thing for me.
Right.
And let me see. We have some people here on the switchboard. And let me see if this person has a question for you, Crystal, please.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. Your first three digits are 773. Do you have a question for Crystal?
No, Daphne, this is Talia.
Okay, well, I'll be busy momentarily. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, and the other people in the on the switchboard, I have to tell you, Crystal, my friend, you have lit up the switchboard, my sister. Just a few other times that I've had the switchboard lit up like it is lit up today, so I am thankful. And listen, we want to hear your voices. So if you're on the switchboard from New York and D.C. and some area codes that I don't even know, I want to thank you all for joining this conversation this morning. So you still have time to ask some questions. We have a few more minutes leave here with Miss Crystal. I don't know what her day's like, but if she has the time and she wants to hang around, I know she'll be willing to take your questions. So my other guest is on the line in the virtual green room, so we'll get to her momentarily. But I just want right now to continue on the conversation with Mrs. Crystal Washington. And she mentioned that she's out of the Houston area.
Yes, Houston. So I know everybody's not shy, so if anybody has any questions, let me know. Unfortunately, I can't hang on after my portion's over because I actually have an appointment I have to literally run to.
Okay,
but
so
we
definitely have you back. So now is the time. You have 3 minutes to get your question out. But in the meantime, I'll ask Crystal to just go ahead and summarize our conversation. And in case anybody have a question, we'll take it in between your summary. So would you take 5 or 6 minutes to summarize our conversation, please, Crystal?
Sure. Basically, we were just talking about vision, and I just want to make sure that I accurately restate the fact that your vision is who you are and who you've always been. It's just a matter of resurrecting what was already in you as a kid that, you know, society, life, sometimes parents, unfortunately, have kind of beat out of you, and that you have to realize that your vision is not logical, and so
Amen.
You can't look at it with a logical lens. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, just to be succinct, if you're in business, the key to your business success is going to be your network. If you don't know anybody, you're not going to grow in business. You will not be successful. The more quality people, the more like-minded people, the more giving people that you know and that you are willing to add value to them as well, the more successful you're going to be.
Because if you have no relationship, you don't need to be in business, because honestly and truly, as Crystal said, our relationships and our network is what will catapult us to the next level. Would you please tell the people how to contact you, Crystal?
Oh, certainly. Well, my website is crystalwashington.com. Again, Crystal, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L, spelled the traditional way, crystalwashington.com. And they can send me emails at crystal@crystalwashington.com. And what I do through this site is I provide really business owners or professionals as well of all knowledge levels with information on how they can achieve measurable marketing results. And so there's products that they can purchase. They can do it themselves. I have a blog that gives all kinds of free marketing advice. So I would love for them to stop by crystalwashington.com. And, you know, if they have any additional questions for me, shoot me an email at crystal@crystalwashington.com.
Well, Krista, I want to thank you, and I promise you, my sister, I will have you back for a double segment because we got a lot of stuff to talk about. You have a lot of meat and potatoes to give my entrepreneurs. And, you know, I'm just so thankful that you came into my life, and I'm going to go ahead and just thank God for the growth of this relationship and that I will be able to add value to the things that He has called you to do. Continue success. Continue to be graceful, just as sweet and as precious as you are.
Thanks.
It's a privilege to call you colleague, friend, and sister.
Thank you, Dr. Dass.
That is just a pleasure to have you on. And, of course, if you are late joining and you did not get the opportunity to hear the live conversation with Mrs. Crystal Washington and myself, by all means, you go to the archive and just send everybody you know there. Crystal, I look forward to connecting with you real soon, and you have a blessed day, my sister.
You too, Dr. Daphne. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Sister Talia.
Hi, Daphne. How are you this beautiful morning?
I am so blessed and highly favored. Ooh. We were rock and rolling. Of course, you know Sharon. Do you remember Sharon from the Power Networking Conference?
I don't remember Sharon.
Do you remember these maybe six or seven women who walk around wearing hats during the conference?
Oh.
The Power Conference.
I don't remember that.
Honey, girl, where you been hiding?
I don't.
Her girl, and I tell you, that woman has such an amazing story. Because before she evolved to having a booth, we used to go up into her hotel suite to buy the jewelry and the...
I remember her. I've been there. I've bought some jewelry.
Honey, girl. The sister has evolved to one of the biggest unique boutiques in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Wonderful. Awesome.
We just could not have this vision dialogue without include her in there because
definitely.
She is a true entrepreneur with a persistent, consistent story and what it took her to evolve. But now you know, we all been going knocking on the door, going in there and getting our nice jewelry and everything.
Yes, wonderful.
Well, I am just so thankful to have you because you are another fireball of an entrepreneur. You commit so much into making sure that we maintain the relationships. And it is such an amazing thing to have you coming off the Crystal because you heard her end note.
Yes.
Without network and relationship, we ain't got no right being in business.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter how qualified we are. The relationships are what will get us next client. So for those who don't, congratulations on your new radio show, Talia.
Thank you, Daphne, and thanks for being on with me.
Yes, it was a real pleasure. It was a real pleasure. I know that was a burning desire of yours for years.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited when I heard that you stepped out and really, really started. So, again, congratulations.
Thank you. And you know, the interesting thing is that you know how I had that vision, but I didn't even have to work for it. God just dropped it in my lap. You know, it's something that I wanted to do because we had talked about it. But sometimes God just opens those doors supernaturally and brings what you want into you if you have that focus and that drive to know what your vision is. you know, God will work things out so that he brings it to pass.
Exactly, exactly. And this is why it doesn't matter how late we start, so long as we follow through and just do what God has called us to do. It's
absolutely
never, never too late.
Absolutely.
Only
you know, you've heard.
Vision is the one that has not been started.
That's right. You've heard of Grandma Moses, I know. The painter?
No, tell me about it. I don't know.
Grandma Moses was a famous painter. She died at 101. She didn't start painting until she was 71. And she still became a famous painter. So you're right. It is never too late.
Never.
To get that vision
never
and to live your dream.
Never too late.
Because we don't want to die with that purpose inside of us.
That's right. That's right. And we just have to follow through and to be obedient. Obedient.
Mm-hmm.
As Christelle rightfully said, you know, don't keep looking for logic.
Right.
Because if we do that, we are never, ever going to start.
Absolutely.
Just get up and start.
There's never a right time.
That's
you
right.
You just have to do it, and the thing and everything else will fall into line once you get moving.
That's
You're
right.
So right.
Talia, why not? Let's start at your journey. I know you have been on this show before, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure how many people listen to you and know who you really are.
Right.
So just tell them about your beginning.
Okay, I'll tell a little bit of that, and then I have a new story to share with you.
Wonderful.
That's something that just happened, and that
Woo!
Is, well, you know the history of how I always had this
passion. You getting married?
No.
Oh.
I'd have called you and told you that, Daphne.
Oh, my
gosh. But that's on the vision board, too, so, you know, look at you. In God's time. As you know, I had this passion for writing since I was a little child, and I told you about how I'd get passionate about things, and I'd always have to write it down. I'd get mad at somebody in the family. I'd write them a letter detailing the heinous crimes they committed against me and why I was mad and wasn't going to be their friend. And I always grew up with that love of writing, and by the time I was 14, I knew that I wanted to be an author. But, you know, life happens, and you go the circuitous route. I was an engineering major, and then I got my MBA, and I was in corporate America for a long time. But that writing always pulled at me. So I ended up being the newsletter editor, or the person who wrote the training manual. I was always getting pulled into writing projects, even at work. So finally, and I told you the whole story about how God let me know that he was about to move. I won't go through all the details now because we don't have a whole lot of time, but...
Mm-hmm.
He gave me those hints and let me know what I needed to do to get ready for the move that he was about to make in my life, moving me out of corporate America into doing my own thing. And if anybody's interested in that, I'd be happy to share. You can follow up with me later. And I was...
You can't share the story. You have time.
Okay,
you're
all right. I'll share the story.
Yes.
And then, because I have another one, I want to tack on to it. But
mm-hmm.
I started getting these messages in my spirit that I should clean out my office, my second bedroom at home in my office, and get rid of my desktop computer and buy a laptop because I was going to be traveling. So I did that, got rid of the desktop, bought a laptop, started cleaning up the office. Then I started getting the same messages at work. Start cleaning out your desk, throw away stuff, you're not going to be here long. So I would stay after work, and I'd start cleaning out and throwing away stuff and filling up bins, and I just knew I was going to get a package. This was November of 04. And I said, I'm going to get a package. I'm going to be out of here and by Christmas. And I was so excited because I was miserable in my job, and I didn't want to have to come back after Christmas. But then Christmas came, no package. I was so depressed. I came back in January. I was just not a happy person. I said, I got to be here again. But I still, that feeling wouldn't go away. I said, I'm getting a package. I just know it. I'm not going to be here long. And so January 7th, the feeling was really strong. And I said, I believe today is the day. I went in the restroom, and I prayed. And I said, God, if today is the day, I'm ready for it. 30 minutes later, my boss called me to meet with her and her boss, and they gave me the package. I was so excited. They thought I was going to be upset, but, oh, we know you need to, you know, figure out what you're going to do. I said, I already know what I'm going to do. I'd met Les Brown by then, so I knew I was going to speak. I knew I was going to write. And they said, well, you know, we know you have a lot of stuff. You probably need to take some time to clean up, you know, anywhere from 2 weeks to 60 days. I said,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks is plenty of time. I said, I've already been cleaning up and throwing away stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I just want you to have long enough to plan my party, and then at 2 weeks I'll be out of here. So it was just a blessing. And for 2 years, my mom's health started to fail. And for 2 years, I was able to take my laptop. She ended up moving to Atlanta with my brother, and she was with me for a while, then she was with him, and I was able to fly and stay down there for 2 weeks at a time if I wanted to. And I could just move around as much as I wanted with my laptop that God told me to buy. And so the day that we had her funeral was my first day teaching. So God opened up the door, and again, this was another vision of mine. I always wanted to teach on a college level. Since then, I've had the opportunity to teach at three different colleges and universities. I'm still teaching at one of them, and I didn't even have to look for it. It can, again, one of those things that God dropped in my lap, all three opportunities. Mm. So, you know, and the timing was just perfect, so that's how we know God's timing is so perfect, because the timing fell right at the time that my mom passed, and now it's time for me to move on to the next phase of my life.
That's right.
So that was a wonderful thing. And
you
then,
know, you know something is, you are just affirming what I spoke about in the beginning, the obedience, even when we don't know what's going to happen,
right.
When you get the inclination to do something, just do it. Because when God is ready to move you, it's not a whole lot of time
right.
for you to be getting rid of stuff. If he tell you pack up and clean up, pack up and clean up. Don't ask him why.
Right. Absolutely. You are
we
so right.
Question, we need to be like little children because we question too much.
We
you
do.
Know, somebody say move over. You want to know why.
Mm-hmm.
What speed you have to move over. When you talk to a child, they just do.
Most
right. kids in kindergarten, they just do. You go, you ask them, well, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Absolutely.
Everybody wants to be the president.
I'm going to be an astronaut, and I'm going to be
exactly.
a dancer, and I'm going to be the president. Unlimited thinking. You're right. And somehow we grow up and we get these rules that, no, we can't do this. I can't step outside this boundary.
We as adults beat it out of them, and society beat it out of them. Oh, dare you. Why you think you can do that? Ain't nobody else ever do that.
Right.
You know?
Well, I'll be the first. And I had that happen to me. So a person that I knew who attended my church, you know, when I first left corporate, well, how are you going to leave your job and be an author? And I have, I have books, and my books have been listed on this list and that list, and I've spoken at this and that. And I said, I said to myself, that's you.
Exactly. Oh, you ain't me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we have to understand and know who we are, because you know, some of those people are relatives. Some of them are close associates.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God knows they mean well because they love us. They don't want to see us hurt.
Right.
But a lot of time you want to tell them, shut your mouth and mind your business.
Exactly.
No, but because we want to be so polite,
mm-hmm.
stand there and smile. But it's good to smile, but don't go and get off the rail because they told you you couldn't do it. You
absolutely.
Believe in yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, how do you expect other people to believe in you and believe in your vision?
Absolutely.
Remember, God gave you that vision for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not
absolutely.
Anybody else.
And who am I going to listen to, him or God?
That's right. It doesn't need to look like anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
In shape, in smell, in taste, because it is uniquely yours.
Right.
You know?
Right. And Daphne, that brings me to the last story that I told you that I, something that just happened. When
yes.
you talk about how you can't listen to people and you got to have those people in your life that encourage you, and that leads into our just talking about the relationships in our lives. We can get to some others, but this is something that happened when I was, before the book was out. It was about 4.5 years ago. And I had this idea for the book, and I was working on the book, and I made up my own little bookmarks and marketing stuff because I was going to tell people about the book even before it was ready. And
exactly.
I was at a networking event, and I was talking to this Hispanic gentleman, and he asked me what I did. And so I started to tell him about the book and the speaking and what I wanted to do. And he said, you know, you have really inspired me. He said, very few people have the courage to follow their passion and just really step out there and do, you know, what they dream of doing. And he said, well, I want to buy a book. And I said, but the book's not out yet. And he said, that doesn't matter. I want to buy a book.
You want to buy a book.
Exactly.
Right.
He said, how much is it? I said, $15.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me a 20. So I started looking for change. He said, keep the change.
Keep the 20. Exactly.
So
it's called free sale.
Right.
It is called free sale.
Absolutely. And I took that 20. Mm-hmm. I took that $20 bill, put it on my nightstand, and it's been there ever since.
That's
so
right.
Last week, I got an email. Guess who the email was from?
from that gentleman.
Absolutely. He found my little makeshift bookmark as he was going through some papers, and he found my email address. He emailed me. He said, remember, I was the one who believed in your dream? He said, and I want to get my autographed copy of the book. So he sent me his address, and I was able to put the book in the mail to him last week. And that was such a strong thing to me. I was so excited to hear from him because just that knowledge that you don't know where your support's going to come from.
Exactly.
Yeah, you build the right relationships, you'll have people that you don't even know who will come out and support your dream just because they believe in the power of your vision.
Mm-hmm. You just not need to show people that I believe in me.
Right.
And when they see that you believe in you, they are going to be in support of you.
Mm-hmm.
They will be. So long as you give them a reason to. Every day that I wake up and I walk through my door, I'm a living example of that. People look at me and they say I'm crazy, you know, because they don't understand. You know, I have such a faith. My faith is cemented in. And to be honest, I grew to the stage where I'm at now because I normally tell people about what I'm doing and everything. And I realized there were so many people. I was actually placing my china and crystal ware in front of swines.
Mm.
And I came to the realization, no, you feed swine in a wooden trough. That's what we call it in Jamaica. You don't feed them in your finest ware.
Because they can't appreciate it.
They cannot appreciate it.
Mm.
And I got an awareness. So even now, when I don't make a dime, how is business? Oh, it's wonderful. It cannot be better. Well, what else you working on right now? You don't have the time to hear all the things I'm working on.
Right.
And I'm moving on. Because it doesn't make sense to tell them because they're just looking for one more reason.
Right.
To tell me why, as a black woman living in New England, that is not going to work.
Right.
And nobody else has ever done it.
Mm-hmm. You are so
one thing I keep in front of my mind, when God gives me a vision, he understands it.
Mm.
So now you finished with that second?
Yes, I am.
that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. You know, and even when he believed in you, he knew he was going to pay that book. It didn't matter how long it took you to print it, but he wanted to invest in your vision and to your purpose.
Yes.
So we have this event coming up, May the 6th through the 9th, and you are one of the speakers and facilitators.
Yes.
So what's your involvement going to be at the Vision Conference?
Well, I am so excited about all aspects of the conference because our vision extends to every single area of our life, our finances, our careers, our businesses, our health, our relationships. And I know you've asked me to focus on that relationship piece, so we're going to put the most heavy emphasis on that. But, you know, I can't help but bring in, you know, my other little stories, too.
It's important because we all have stories.
Right.
And that's what makes us unique.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a lot of people look around and they say, oh, I don't have a degree, I didn't go to college. And yes, although that is important, that's not really who you are.
No,
because
it's not.
Because even before your mother knew that she was going to give birth to you, God knew why he created you.
Yes,
so the most important of this life that we are on is to harness and understand our purpose and calling, why did God create us? And then connect ourselves with the relationships to help us make a success. And all the other stuff are icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm. They sure are. But from the purpose of relationships, just to let the listeners know who don't already know that I do have a book. It's a book and an e-book that are relationship-based. And they talk about personal relationships. The book is called Crossing the Threshold, Opening Your Door to Successful Relationships. And the e-book is called 150 Important Questions You Should Ask Before You Say I Do. Now, I was asked to speak. I've done workshops, and I do workshops on the concepts in the book and the personal relationships. But I got asked to speak by Chase Bank. And they insisted that they wanted my relationship workshop. And I thought, well, okay, well, relationship, you know, this book is, you know, why would they want to pay me to come and speak on romantic relationships. And but then I thought about it, and I said, you know what? The concepts in the book translate to any kind of relationships. It really doesn't matter because you are who you are in all of your relationships. And the book is about having those mentalities that cause us to repeat the same mistakes over and over in our relationships. And talk about doors, door mentalities. One door is the doormat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty self-explanatory, the person who allows others to walk on them and take advantage of them. The other extreme is the door prize. That's the person who thinks it's all about them, and other people should just cater to their whims. There are a lot of other doors, positive and negative, along the spectrum, but the door that we want to develop ourselves in is the door bell, B-E-L-L-E, the bell of the ball. And this is the Proverbs 31 woman, and it also applies to men, but this is the person who's self-aware, who's God-focused, who knows who they are. They give because they want to give. They want to be a blessing to others, not because they're trying to buy someone's affections by doing certain things for them, but it's who they are. So they know how to be the right person in relationships, and instead of looking for qualities in other people, in our romantic relationships, a lot of times we're looking for things in other people. Even in our business relationships, a lot of times we're looking for qualities in other people, and we're not developing the qualities in ourselves that are going to make us successful in our relationships and in our business.
Well,
so
Talia, let me stop you because I want our conversation this morning to focus around an entrepreneur utilizing the relationship in their business. Because a lot of times we don't understand the impact the relationship has on our business.
Right.
And I know most people kind of sort of know how to keep the fire in their romantic relationship.
Oh, right.
Yet when we come to a business relationship, we think we can just approach it haphazardly. But how can you flip those same techniques for us as entrepreneurs to understand? Yes, we're not going to put the romance in the business, but how can we still use the formula?
Right, and that's where I was going. The concepts are the same. We have to be the right person. We have to think in our relationships, what can we give, not what can we get. So when we're out networking and talking about our business, how many times have you gone to a networking event and people are shoving their papers in your face and telling you, you know, you can be in the middle of a conversation and somebody will come by and shove a flyer or a business card in your face because they want you to know what they do.
Mm.
But that's not effective. I'll tell you a story about there are two, I decided I wanted to go to a doctor who practiced natural health.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know, I wasn't really actively looking. I just, again, had it in my mind, this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at a networking event, and a man came up to me, and I had a booth, and he introduced himself, and he said, and I'm thinking, okay, he's going to, you know, pitch his business. He was a natural health doctor. And he said, how much are your books? And I told him, and he said, I want 10 of them. I want to give them to my clients. I thought, okay. And so, you know, I got his information, and I contacted him later when I was going to be in the area, and, you know, I said, I can drop off. He bought the books. He never said anything about, you know, I want you to check out my business, but I was there. And so he said, well, let me give you a tour of the office, and he showed me around, and I thought, okay, you know, this guy seems good. And I asked him about his services. I ended up becoming a client. I was at a funeral another time, which turned into a networking event because everybody was there at the funeral passing out flyers and shoving their business cards. I walked in the door.
Mm.
A guy shoved his business card in my face. He was a natural doctor. He said, you don't know anything about natural health. Then I said, yeah, I do, actually. And he proceeded to tell me what I didn't know and why I should become a client of his. And it just turned me off so much. At the funeral. It just made me think about so many times you see people that are so busy self-promoting, they're not taking the time to build those relationships first.
What about the sensitivity for the families, what they are going through?
Oh, yeah, that whole funeral, because the guy led a networking group, that whole funeral was huge. Everybody was there, and it turned into a networking event, actually, which
I
thought was very disrespectful for the family.
Yeah, I see that as really disrespectful.
Yeah, I thought
shameful.
So. But it just drove home that point that we don't increase our business by shoving what we do in people's places. It's about the saying that people do business with people they know, like, and trust. You have to build those relationships first. And when people know, like, and trust you, they will not only give you their business, but they'll refer other people to you. But you can't do it by, until you get to know who they are, ask them about their business, show that you care about who they are before you try to get them to be a client. So that was one of the main things that I could definitely say. Another extreme example I have is there's a gentleman I met at a networking event, and I didn't remember. You know how you meet a lot of people and you don't necessarily remember everybody, so an important thing to do is you got to make sure you refresh the person's memory. If you're going to contact someone, let them know who you are, where you met them. So I got a call, and he told me, I'm just going to use Dave. His name wasn't Dave, but I'm just going to use He calls, "This is Dave. Give me a call back." Hung up. I listened to the message. I'm thinking, okay, I have no idea who Dave is and why I need to talk to him, so I'm not calling him back. And then a couple times he called. Once he actually caught me at home and on my office line, and so I had a brief conversation with him, and I want to meet with you. He never said what he wanted to meet about, what he did. So I'm thinking, why do I want to spend my time? And you have to be wise about how you use your time because you can't get the time back. I'm thinking, why do I want to spend my time meeting with this person, and I don't, you know what he wants, or, you know. So periodically I'd hear from him. Once I was having an event, he called me. He said, "I want to go to the event." He said, but it was only $10. He said, "But could you give me a comp pass?" And I thought, okay, if you don't have $10 and you want me to do business with you, but you don't have $10, I thought, okay. I said, "No problem. That's fine. You can come for free." And then he didn't show up for the event, called me like a week or so later and said, "You know, I really wanted to make that event, but it was kind of early in the morning for me."
Hey,
you're an entrepreneur. You need to get up and be able to be, you know, if you're going to do business with other entrepreneurs, you got to be there. You can't say, "Oh, that's too early in the morning for me." So there was another lesson. Same guy, a little bit after that, Sunday night on my business line, and I usually answer that line, "Good afternoon, Talia Stovall," and it was Sunday night. I thought, okay, who's calling me on my business line Sunday night? I just picked it up and said, "Hello." And there was a little pause at the end, and then the person said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can't remember who I was calling." And I thought, okay. And it turned out it was the same guy. Apparently was just going down the list of people that he wanted to check in with, but didn't even take the time to remember who he was calling so that he could have a personal conversation.
Yeah.
So,
as business people, you know, all that you just mentioned here, I am sure it does for the other listeners as it does for me too. All that leaves a bitter taste
right
in my mouth, because there are too many people out there doing that kind of a stuff. So when you get out there to build relationships and to network, know what you are about.
Exactly.
Don't be playing games, because people, you know, they will disrespect you.
Right.
And they are going to be screening their calls, watching their phones, and when you call, they will not want to answer you. And I tell you something, Talia, you are a better woman than I am. Because I would not give him so many opportunities to be calling me, wanting to get with me.
Right.
I know it is my responsibility to always, every opportunity that I get, to inspect what I expect.
Right.
So I'm asking you right off the bat, Talia, to what do I owe the honor of this call? And you better tell me, girlfriend, why you're calling.
Right.
Hey, mama ain't got time for small talk.
Exactly.
I don't have time for small talk. So if you just calling me to hang out, you better wait till we hang out at the conference, because we don't have time for small talk. So, you know, don't get too polite and let people waste your time. Because
you're absolutely right.
You are on a journey. You have things to do, legacies to create.
That's
and
right.
And when you ask people what they want, they're just going to respect you.
Yeah, and that's definitely a lesson learned. You are absolutely right. You do not allow people to call me or waste my time in any way anymore. You're absolutely right. And the other thing, just one thing to tag on to that, is that something that you just said, but you kind of went right through it, and I want to highlight that, and that is, you said know who you are and what you're about. It is important when you're talking to people, you need to be able to give them that 30-second elevator pitch. You don't want to take up a whole lot of people's time telling them who you are and what you do. You want to be able to state it concisely. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is what I can provide that is a benefit. And how can I help you also? So you want to make sure that you're bringing those things so that people can.
2 weeks ago, I went to the summit, the Winners Summit in Washington, in Baltimore. That was done by Deborah Hard, an amazing event, and there was a reception on the Friday night, and I sat with two women. One of the women were from Baltimore there, and the other woman was from Alabama. And I sat there and I asked them both at different times about what they did. One of the women founded a nonprofit organization to empower young girls. And she has a growing congregation. She's also a minister. And I was listening to what her vision is all about. And I looked at her and said, I would love to have you on the radio show to talk about what you're doing. The other lady, she was an inventor. She invented the Duffy organizer that you can use to organize things. And I'm thinking, if I had just took their cards, did not get in a conversation with them, I would not have had the opportunity to really let them know what I'm about and how I can add value to them. So, you know, I came back from the conference and I was able to have them on this show to tell the world about what they're doing. And this is what it's all about. When you get into a relationship, know how you can add value to what the other person is all about. Because it is in the adding of the value that you indeed can get value added back to you. I want to remind the people that they can always, we have quite a few people on the phone. If you want to ask a question, just raise your hand and that put you on. And for those of you up there in cyberspace who is looking way into this conversation, the number to call is 646-915-8166. And if you're in the chat room, excuse me, and you have a question, please type it and I will relay it to to Leah Stovall. And I want to thank the people in the chat room for coming and hanging out with me this this morning. And again, I'm in conversation with Talia Stovall. Yes, Talia. So as you look over even, and I'll go back to even your corporate journey. What role, if any, would you say that vision played?
Oh, I would say that it definitely, I knew the things that I liked and didn't like doing. When I started off, I was just kind of listening to other people, and that's how I kind of ended up in engineering school. But then when I began to really plug into what I enjoy doing, it led me to be able to, I always wanted to do some event planning. So for 4 years, I was an event planner in corporate America, and I enjoyed doing the writing. So I got a chance to do some projects that were writing related. And so just knowing your strengths and your interests, and that's part of what I do with the call, the life purpose assessment, is help people to understand their gifts, their aptitudes, their interests, and their personality, because all of that shapes who you are, and you have to have that vision of who you are, what you like to do, what you don't want in your life also, so that you can get on the right path. So I believe that I kind of stumbled my way to it, but I did end up, I took the call myself, and my results said that my top gifts were teaching and empowering others, encouraging others, and that's what I'm doing already. But you know, it was good to see that I did finally find my way into my purpose. But how great would it be to find it at an earlier age. Like we said, it's never too late, but the earlier you get into your purpose, the more of an impact you're going to be able to make on the world.
You know, but you know something, Talia, I'm going to disagree with you a bit, because I don't think we find our purpose, because it is never lost.
Right.
I think we need to connect. We need to connect
mm-hmm.
to our calling and purpose, because it is always there. God created us.
Right.
For the purpose and for the calling, and we just need to connect to that. So it's never lost. And even
right.
for those people who die and leave this world without fulfilling their calling
mm-hmm.
and purpose,
mm-hmm.
it was never lost.
You're absolutely right. That is definitely a better way to put it, because your purpose
yeah.
is always in you.
It
sometimes we ignore it. We ignore the voices, and we don't realize it, because we're so busy, caught up in all the other things and the mindsets to tell us we can't. But you're right. The purpose
you know,
is there. It's just up to us
back,
to recognize.
Look back over you when you got mad with people.
Mm-hmm, right.
As a child. You
right.
were writing.
And even in high school, I had teachers that, you know, were shocked at some of the things that I wrote. You know, and I was really bad, because I could write a paper in my sixth period class that was due in seventh period and get an A on it. And I had a friend that used to frustrate so much, because she'd work for weeks on a paper and she'd get like a C or something, and I'd do it in the period before it was due and get an A. And it was just a gift, and teachers recognized that. And I wrote a play once when I was a freshman in high school, and my teacher said, "Did you write this all by yourself?" And I'm thinking, didn't he see me in the back of the class writing the play? You know, I asked him if I could turn it in at the end of the class instead of the beginning, because I wasn't finished with it yet. And so I had another teacher who introduced me to a writer. She wanted me to meet him because she saw that I was a good writer, and she wanted me to meet him so he could kind of encourage me. And so people recognize your gifts. If you don't know what it is, ask the people around you what you're good at, because yeah, I can tell you, Daphne is great at encouraging and empowering others, because I see you do it. So if any of your listeners aren't sure what their purpose is, if you ask the people who are close to you, they see what you do, they recognize your gifts, they can give you insight into what those gifts are.
Because, you know, Talia, as I look back even over my my years as a nurse in Jamaica, the one thing that I was always doing was talking. Even when I did medication, I had to get into a long conversation with all my patients, and my co-workers were very angry at me, because they said, "Clark Hudson, why do you have to talk to everybody?" But that was who I was. I was created to talk. And
right.
we have a call. Just hold on. Caller, good morning. Your last three digits are 0401. Would you state your name, where you're calling from, and your question, please?
Good morning. This is Prophetess Rosalyn Jennings from the Power Forgiveness Show. I'm
Good
calling
morning,
from Stone Mountain.
And thanks for coming.
I'm calling from Stone Mountain, Georgia. My question is, like always, you have a great topic, great show, and great guests. My question is, you were saying about building rapport, relationship with people, but what about when you always support others and they never there support you, and like the only time you hear from them when they want you to be there for them, but they don't think enough about you and the things that you need?
Mm. I'm going to let Talia weigh in, but I want to give my piece
mm-hmm.
where that is concerned. Prophet, the one thing you focus on always is value. What does not come to you is really not your concern, because so long as you plant seed, you will harvest. Look on farmers. The farmers keep planting, and even when they get a bad harvest, they still plant. And come soon, they are going to harvest. So the seeds you are sowing are seeds that will bring you fruit soon. Maybe you're thinking that, oh, I need them now and they are not here for me. But God is thinking, no, you have what you need now. When the time comes that you need additional resource, I'm going to send it to you, because a lot of times we keep focus on the people that we help and think that they are going to be the ones help us back, and surprise, surprise.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. It's someone you don't know. It's someone you don't even know, don't really know you. They're the one will be right there to be supportive to you.
My sister, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised in Jamaica, West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
I left the country in Paintstown, St. Elizabeth. I went to nursing school in Montego Bay. I evolved from nursing, got into community, and I'm always helping people. And guess what? I'm no longer in Jamaica for those people to help me back. But you know something?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in America, and I'm being helped by people from all over the world. New Zealand, UK, Scotland, you know, Detroit, Michigan, all over the U.S. These are
mm-hmm.
people who didn't know me back then. But
mm-hmm.
the one thing I will continue doing in my life is planting the seeds. And I'm not focusing on who don't help me back. I'm just busy
mm-hmm.
helping other people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, Talia, go ahead. That's, you know, when I hit on a topic, I'm on my soapbox.
I know, right? Well, Prophetess, I would echo 90% of what Daphne says. I agree that we have to plant those seeds. God has put that gift in you, that
mm-hmm.
you have a ministry. And you're right. You don't know where the seeds are going to fall. You might be doing something for one person, but somebody else might be watching you and seeing what you're doing and what you're giving to that person, and they can be inspired. So a lot of it is stuff that we may never see. And then, as Daphne
mm-hmm.
said, it may come back to us through other people, because God opens doors through other people, and he blesses us for what we do through other people, not necessarily the people we're helping. Now, the only
mm-hmm.
thing that I would caution you about is, you know, earlier I talked about that doormat and door prize. You don't want to put yourself out there to the extent that you are suffering from what's you know, there's bad impact on your life based on what you're
That's
doing
right.
now. If someone
mm-hmm.
is using you to the point where it is having a negative impact on you, then that might be that time where we were talking earlier, it might be time to kind of cut those ties
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
you don't want it to have a negative impact on you and your ministry and what you need to do. If it's taking your
mm-hmm.
energy that you need to be able to positively impact people's lives, then you may
mm-hmm.
need to kind of ease back away from that person a little bit. But as long as
mm-hmm.
your giving is not having a negative impact, then I'd say continue, because you just really, like Daphne said, don't know where those seeds might fall.
Yes, I did know, Prophet.
Go ahead, woman.
So
I'm listening.
So long as you inspect what you expect, you'll never become a doormat.
Right.
We allow ourselves to become doormats when we do not take control.
Right.
We
That's right. And we're not balanced.
Mm. Uh-huh. You got to take control, my sister.
Right.
And I tell you something. The people in the church are the ones who are guilty of this.
Yeah.
Because they just have a sense of entitlement. And
mm-hmm.
they think, oh, she's talking about she profit. She needs to do this for me, and she needs to do that for me.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. I don't need to do it for God.
Right.
That's
right.
Where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are more devils in the church than is out
That's
in the pulpit.
True.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to apologize for that.
There no, you can tell the truth.
And there are
you can tell the truth. You tell the truth. And we have to really show love and support to each other.
Exactly.
We got to stop being selfish.
Oh, right.
We
got to
really stop being selfish. You're right
my
about
sister,
that.
I tell you both something. I live in New England. I live in Connecticut. And a lot of my support don't come to the brown people, like Crystal called them. And they label me. They say, oh, you live in the white community and you die. I said, listen, I live where I am appreciated.
Thank you. Celebrate, not tolerated. Mm-hmm.
That I can add value for them. For me, it's not about the color or the ethnicity. I was born and raised in Jamaica, West Indies, where our skin color look different. We have different
mm-hmm.
Different hair texture. But
mm-hmm.
guess what? When we all open our mouths, the patois, which is the broken English, is flying out.
Right.
So we know, regardless of our color, we are one.
Right.
So I tell people all the time, I had no idea I was black till I came to America. I realized, oh my God, She's a black female, and they say she's from the West Indies. They say she is a single parent and all of that stuff. And guess what? I just enjoy it because, surprise, surprise, every box they put me in, I pop the lid off.
That is awesome. So, Prophetess, I would say you know to pray for wisdom and discernment, and you will know how to handle the people in your life.
That's right. But just don't get discouraged, my sister, because you are going to emerge stronger than you began.
Thank you. Thank you for the word of encouragement.
Extend yourself out of Stonemore, Georgia, girlfriend. You know. I tell people,
I'm sorry. I'm having a problem. I don't know if my phone or your phone. I'm sorry.
I'm saying, reach out of Stone Mountain, Georgia. You know to me that social media is the best thing since salvation. Because of social media, I have a strong global outreach.
Right.
Okay.
I can serve. People who I can add value to their lives. I no longer have to look in my little town of New Milford, Connecticut, or my little town of Brookfield, Connecticut. Honey girl,
okay.
I'm serving the world.
That's right, international.
You know the beauty about it? I'm just doing it because God wants me to do it.
Right.
And
yes.
What is happening, I'm getting back as I do that. I didn't start out looking for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, so I thank you for calling. I hope you'll stop by my show and mark it favorite so you'll be kept informed of all the amazing guests that we're having. And you can join us at the Vision Conference on May the 6th to the 9th. Love you and let us hear from you, my sister.
God bless you. Thank you. And I'm learning to be balanced. You have to be balanced and use wisdom.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Delia?
Yes.
Girl, I don't know where the time went.
I know.
But it's amazing. I want to thank all the people for coming this morning. I apologize, Delia. I know I told you I was just going to keep you for 30 minutes. Girl, it's already gone. So why don't you take 5 minutes to summarize your thoughts, and I promise I'll make it up to you.
Okay, well, that is absolutely wonderful. Daphne, I always enjoy talking to you, whether we're on your show, on my show, on the phone, whatever. So it has been a pleasure, and I am so happy to share with your audience. And again, just the closing remarks are that it is all about relationships. Life is about relationships. And for entrepreneurs, we have to remember to build those relationships first. As a Christian entrepreneur, the first relationship is our relationship with God. We use that as a model of how we treat other people. And we have to just remember that it's not about what we get, it's about what we can give. Mm-hmm. And then let God take care of the getting. He'll make sure that we get back whatever we give. I think it was it Zig Ziglar who said, if we give enough to other people, we'll eventually get what we want. So we want to keep that in mind. It's about the service that we can give and how we can bring value to other people in building those relationships.
You know, you say that, and last week I went for a meeting with a gentleman. And while I was there waiting to meet with him, another gentleman came in the office. And, of course, Delia, you know how I like to talk. So I began talking with the other gentleman, and then the person I was meeting with came out and said, do you know each other? I said, no, I was just getting to know him, but here you are.
Right.
So he looked at the man and he said, oh, you know who she is? So the man said, no. He said, she's a Christian entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
He said, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's who she is. And I said, my God, I couldn't believe what he said that because really and truly, that's who I am, but I have never, ever introduced myself like that before.
And I haven't either, Daphne. It just came out just now. It just came out.
Yeah. You know, just this gentleman knew who I was because of the example that of the life that he sees me live in the community. So, you know, people are watching you even when you don't know they're watching, and there's no good deed that you have done, my sister, that is going to go unnoticed. God is going to reward you when the time is right.
That is very
true. He will reward you.
Mm-hmm.
So one closing thought, Sister Talia.
Well, I would just say that keep focused on your vision, on your goals, and God will reward you. And I'd like to invite your listeners to also tune in to my show, Empowered 2. And it's going to be on today. It's on Wednesdays and Fridays from 1:45 to 2 Central Standard Time. And they can listen, if they're not in the Chicago area, they can listen online at www.supernaturalempowerment.com. And also like to invite them to join my Empowered 2 mailing list, and they can do that through my website, TaliaStovall.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Talia.
I want to
also thank Crystal Washington Martin for her enlightened portion of the conversation, and also Sharon Bullock. I tell you, for years I've been calling her the wrong name, but she loves me in spite of. And for all the guests who joined in the chat room, I want to thank you for your input. I know you didn't call in, but I know you enjoy a lot from the conversation. I know you learned a lot from the conversation. And I want to go ahead and remind you that the early bird registration for the Vision Conference has been extended to April the 13th. So rush on over to www.visionweekendconference.com. I tell you, this curriculum is designed specifically for entrepreneurs and small business people to shape their vision for greater success. If you're thinking about a business, you already are in a business, and you just want to shape the vision for your life, this is a conference you want to be at. The date for that is May the 6th through the 9th. It will be held at the Heritage Hotel Golf and Spa, nested in the unique New England town of Southbury. You don't want to miss that. We have an amazing lineup of speakers coming from all across USA. We have Edward Foxworth III. We have Richard Donnell. We have Dr. Gerald Higginbotham. We have the Reverend Dr. Theophilus Mills. We have John Mullock, Jennifer Sertle, Talia Stovall, Dolores Presley, Jim Nemley, and Chandel Pitts. And of course, it would not happen without the presence of the Queen of the Empowered Soul. So, we want to have you there. We have an amazing program set up for you. So we want to make sure you are there. So go. The hotel is giving a phenomenal rate with full course breakfast. You don't get that happening at any conference when you go, when you get hot breakfast served. Most places you go, it's a continental breakfast. Here, they are giving us a hot breakfast because they know the importance of a first meal of the day. And we just want to have you there again. The number is, you can call 860-355-9838. If you have any questions, you can also call 718-753-0244. The website is divisionweekendconference.com. So please support us and be there. And again, I want you to join us on Saturday at 7 p.m. when my guest will be the cosmetics diva, Miss Yolanda Webb from Cincinnati, Ohio. And she is the CEO and founder of Elan Cosmetics, and you want to be here to hear her story. She and I will be in conversation from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And again, I must tell you that I'll be featured in the Elan Beauty Magazine the weekend before Mother's Day. I think it is the May issue. So keep looking at my tweets on my Facebook page to see when that is out. Again, I thank you for joining us. Visit us at the website to listen for the on the archive, and that is at blogtalkradio.com/Daphne, D-A-P-H-N-E, hyphen C-L-A-R-K-E, hyphen H-U-D-S-O-N. And just leave us some feedback there about what you think about the show so that we can be encouraged. Last week, we celebrated our first year with 155 segments on the Blog Talk Radio show. So we feel that as a great blessing, and we thank all of you for your support over this time. Again, you are listening to the Queen of the Empowered Soul, who continuously remind you that you do not have to settle for mediocrity because you have the ability to create excellence. Stay blessed, stay focused on your destiny, and know that God has called you for a time like this, and you need to focus on your destiny and do not allow anyone to derail you. We look forward to seeing you at the Vision Weekend Conference 2010 on May the 6th through the 9th at the exquisite Heritage Hotel Golf and Spa right here in Connecticut. Again, I thank my guests, Talia Stovall, Crystal Washington, and Sharon Bullock for this stimulating conversation. Stay blessed, stay focused, and follow your destiny.
To my destiny. You've been called to change nations.